Okay, at this time we will be looking at the Andrew principle in John chapter 1. Let's stand as we turn to John chapter 1, 37 to 42. John chapter 1, ready? 1, 2, begin. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, and brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we look into your precious word, the word of life, the word that tells us that you are God, you are the one who created heavens and the earth. Lord, you are the one who brought Egypt out, or rather brought Israel out from Egypt, led them to the point, Father, they were able, Lord, to, through them, the Messiah came. And Lord, up to today, we know it's all by your grace that we have been allowed to know of your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we explore this passage, teach us your word that we will have a humble heart to understand it. Lord, we pray for the spirit of understanding to be upon us through your Holy Spirit. Teach us your truth and help us to listen to your word and help us to practice it, Lord, in our lives. Pray for everyone who's here. Lord, if there's one person who's not saved, I pray that the movement of this message will help them to see where they are in terms of their salvation. And I pray for those who have trusted Christ to take this passage seriously, Lord, for the time is short. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Look at verse 35 in John chapter 1. The Bible says again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, now John the Baptist and two of his disciples was there, they all look upon Jesus. John the Baptist looked upon Jesus as he walked. He says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This was a situation whereby John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus was coming. And John actually pointed out, This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay? Now, the whole thing about Andrew was one of the disciples, look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew. So Andrew is Simon Peter's brother, Peter's brother. Now Andrew was a disciple, not of Jesus Christ, but of John the Baptist. Okay, let's set the stage correctly. So Andrew was one of the two disciples that was there. He was following John the Baptist. But after hearing his master John the Baptist point to Jesus as the Lamb of God that should come, Andrew became curious. You know, sometimes it's hard for us who have been following someone or something for a long time to leave it. Would you agree with me? If you're following a person or you've been listening to this person a long time, it's very hard for you to shift. John chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes and all men come to him. Now, this is a testament to the truth that when we follow a set of beliefs or a set of someone, it's very hard for us to shift. In John chapter 3, verse 26, some of John's disciples came to John the Baptist and say, Master, John, Jesus, whom you pointed to, have a lot of people are going to them now, you know? And they feel the loyalty to John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 26. It's very hard to shift. And I'm just looking at that in application to us. When we've grown up with a set of beliefs, practices, habits, it is very hard to change. Okay? It's very, very hard to change. Unless three things happen. Number one, the person is genuinely seeking for the truth. When the person is genuinely seeking for the truth. Number two, the hearing of the word of God. Number three, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. In order for a person to change whatever that he has learned in the past to follow Jesus, these three things must happen. A person must have a heart for the truth. Or maybe he may be wandering around, but when someone speaks to him, there's a stirring. After this, we'll talk about that. The hearing of the Word of God and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. From the passage, we can see that these two disciples were clearly very serious disciples of John. They were at the baptism together with John. But when John pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, they became curious. So at this time, Jesus was already on earth. John the Baptist, being enlightened by God to identify the Savior, pointed to the Lord Jesus as the Savior that should come. I want us to look at the first point. But anyway, the first point is, God's grace was at work in Andrew's life. God's grace was at work in Andrew's life. God's grace was at work in Andrew's life. That's the first point. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, let's turn there. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Do you realize one thing? When you became interested in Christianity, that was the starting point of the grace of God. It's not salvation, it's the starting point that God begins to draw you in. You know, sometimes you talk to people, "I'm not interested." But there's some people you talk to, "Yeah, I'd like to come. And they seem to have some interest. That is the grace of God. Because the natural man, the person, the sinner, will not want the things of God. Okay? So, as Andrew and the disciple followed Christ in John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus turned around and asked them, "What are you seeking for?" You can turn back to John chapter 1. We'll just flip a little bit so that we can follow. So, the grace of God has appeared to them. And they came to see Jesus, and Jesus saw them in John chapter 1, verse 38. And then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What are you seeking for? What are you seeking for? What are you seeking for?" You know, it's very, and I believe the Holy Spirit is teaching us something. When we come to Jesus, Jesus will clarify your motivation. Jesus is going to clarify, why on earth are you following me? Why on earth are you following me? Why on earth are you being in church? Why are you following me? Why are you wanting to be part and parcel of this Christianity? Then Jesus asked that. He did that a few times. In Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What would thou that I should do unto thee?" See, Jesus is not going to take, he's not going to guess your intentions. A blind man came to Jesus, and then Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for him?" What kind of a question is that, right? No. The Lord Jesus wants to be very clear. Why are you here? What do you want me to do for you? Why are you a Christian? Do you know that you can be a Christian for the wrong reasons? I know people, I've really heard, my wife as well can testify, some people come to church because, especially those big church, because they want to get insurance contacts. They do their business. And this guy actually told me, "I only come to church," he's a church member, not of this church, another church, "I only come to church to service my clients." Jesus clarified, even with a blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Of course, the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight," Mark chapter 10, verse 51. What is the Bible reason why we come to Christ? What is the Bible reason? There is only one acceptable reason with God that you are coming to Him. It's not because your friends are here. It's not because you love the fellowship. All these are good. But what's the main reason you come to Christ? The clue is in what Andrew heard in John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29, okay? It's up there. The Bible says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When we come to Jesus Christ, I know initially when people talk about coming to church and all that, we just come probably to just kind of find out and say, "Oh, I like this place and all that, and the people are friendly." It's all these are good things. But God wants to zoom in into our motivation. Why are you coming to me? Why do you want to be a Christian? For those who want to share the gospel with others, we have to be very clear. We don't want them to come and join the church. We want them to come and to be joined to Christ. So when we share the gospel, we have to be very clear. Because Jesus asked these disciples, "What are you looking for? What do you want me to do for you? What are you looking for?" Okay? So the clue is here. Andrew heard John, his master at that time, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh the sin of the world." Jesus came to save us from our sin. Andrew was stirred to follow Christ. He wasn't saved yet. He has never trusted Christ. But can you see God's grace actually pouring? God's grace is being poured onto Andrew's life right now. And he's following the light. If you are not a Christian today, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have been coming, did you realize it's God's grace to keep you? And you have never put that faith, we'll look at that afterwards, but that's God's grace. It is always God's grace for anyone, especially a non-believer, to be in a place to hear his word. Always. That's why my heart is so excited. As I was praying yesterday with some of the brethren for the camp. It just dawned on me. There's 100 people coming, and many of them, 90% of them, not saved. That's God's grace. And as many of the members have been reaching out and all that, and they're all coming. Do you realize God's grace? We need to pray for God's saving grace to be poured out on these people, right? This is just as a side. But coming back, he asked the master, okay, Andrew asked the master, "You know, Lord, where are you dwelling? Where dwellest thou?" First question for you, have you noticed the work of grace started in your heart? Have you come to the point of saying, "Hey, I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here because God's grace is on my life." Okay, that's the first. You notice God's grace. He asked because as a disciple, he wanted to learn more about this Lamb of God. Okay? And so the second point, God's truth are being taught to Andrew now and the other disciple. Let's turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and after, in verse 38, the two disciples asked them, "Rabbi, where are you living? Where are you staying?" Probably the intention is, "I'd like to come in and spend some time with you to find out more about what the Messiah is." And then verse 39, "He saith unto them, Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for he was about the 10th hour. It's been late, okay? It's late. It's about 4 in the afternoon right now. Okay, I mean in that context. When we want to come to Christ, the Lord will always teach us. Notice, you know why I'm going through step by step? Because I believe that's how the Holy Spirit will want to work with us. Of course, different people have different experiences. But we need to clarify our motivation, why we come into Jesus. And if we are genuinely based on the sincere intention of finding Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord will teach us. Jesus says in verse 39, "Come and see." Come. Come, I invite you. Come. Come. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word..." He that hears my word. He that hears my word. Not he that sees my works. Not he that comes to a service and feels something good. He that hears my word and then place faith on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death to life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 15, please turn there. This is a very, very important verse for salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 15. The Bible says, and this is the record This is written down. The record means something written down. It is recorded. That God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The life that God gives us is in His Son. It's not in the church, it's not in the pastor, it's not in your good works, it's not in your trying very hard to attain unto salvation. It is in Jesus Christ, because that's what the Bible says. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have possessed the Son of God in your life, you're a Christian. But you have not the Son of God, you have not life. This thing have I written unto you, that you believe, or unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you heard the word? Have you heard the word? You know, I've spoken to many people, and some of you have as well. They are not sure when they got saved, but that's not a problem. Have you heard the word? Have you heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the word of God about your salvation, about your life? Have you been confronted? And that was what God's truth was being taught to Andrew and the disciple, because later on we see an evidence of that. It is the word of God that needs to be at work in the person's life. The word of God. It is of primary importance, because God chooses to use the word of God. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 63. I believe it's also there. It's a word that needs to be at work in a person's life. John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, okay, it is the Spirit that maketh alive, quickeneth. The word quickeneth means to make alive, to stir the person from dead to life. It is the Holy Spirit that's able to make you alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing we can do with the flesh. The words, notice this thing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are the spirit and they are the life. God has embedded, see, when God spoke the word, remember, firstly, when God made Adam and Eve, what did He do? Or rather, when God created the world, how did He create the world? He said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. When the disciples were in the boat, Jesus was sleeping. The storms were tough. The disciples were afraid. And said, Master, we perish. Worse still, they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus stirred up and Jesus said, peace. Be still. What happened to the storm? It's still, right? It calmed immediately. And by the way, the storm on the Sea of Galilee was a hurricane-type storm. And when Jesus said, peace, be still, the storm immediately stopped. The Bible says that this word that I'm telling you now is spoken by the same God that said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Blessed are those people who take it seriously with a sincere heart. And when they read it, they realize this is the word of God. The Bible is not merely any other common book. It is the very words of God spoken from the throne of heaven for us to find eternal life. And when we take it lightly, woe are we, because it doesn't help us. Worse still, there are spiritual consequences. So Jesus is telling us, or telling the group that time in John chapter 6, the words that I'm telling you, these are the words that will give you the life. These are the words that will give you a spiritual life, spirit and life. Why are we preaching the word? You know, I am concerned that some churches don't even open their Bibles. And they thrive on something else. We can't, because Jesus said this. Woe is me as pastor if I don't tell you what Jesus said, because these are the things that will bring you life. When I study it, it brings me life. It makes me a better person by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. The word of God speaks to the heart. When the heart has been stirred by the Holy Spirit and made ready, you will have an internal struggle. You know why? The sinful nature will not want to hear what God says. And some of you, as you're hearing for the first time, probably you are saying, Pastor Johnny, I heard all this before. You know, I'm a Christian. I know that. Well, then, how sincere are you in seeking God through His Word? How sincere are you? Well, let's be honest with God and with ourselves. God wants us to learn that it is His Word that brings us life. That's what Jesus said. And as we have an internal struggle, but you know that God is speaking to you, you may be convicted by the Holy Spirit. There can be two responses. One, we can receive what we've heard, or two, we can reject what we've heard. You know, maybe we may have to truly ask ourselves, why are we coming to church? Okay? I like you, for those who say you're saved, look back to the day that you profess to be saved. Look back to the time that you trusted Christ. Look back to the day that you trusted Christ. For me, it was June 1981. No, that was where I was baptized. Probably before that, I was saved. But look back to the day that you profess to be saved. Let me ask you, the day you say, did you respond to the music in the service? That you felt good? I've heard of this. Were you confronted with the Word of God with regards to your personal life with the righteousness of God, with the holiness of God? Oh, that is the beginning point. Or maybe you heard the Word of God being taught to you. Look back to that time. Did you respond to the Word of God? Or do you respond to a feeling? Oh, I want to be... But because the reason why I have to say that is because what happens after that, there seems to be no interest in God's Word. There seems to be no interest in anything about God. You don't read your Bibles. Not you, I mean generally, the person don't read their Bible. They don't pray. And when talking about church things, they say, nah, I've got no time for that. I'm concerned because Andrew was stirred. The more he heard about Christ, the more he wanted Christ. And it is through the Word that God stirs them. You can only know about Christ. And the question I'd like to ask you, have you been taught the truth? Because Andrew spent time with the Lord Jesus. Look back to the day you were saved. Did you respond to the Word of God? That causes you to love the Word of God more and more. There are many brethren here whom I know after they receive Christ, they will read and read. I remember in my own testimony, John, that sometimes I doubt my salvation. Yes, Pastor, why, you do? Yes, I do. I do. But not, thank God, not recently, but you know, the more I read the Word, I remember the time when I was 13 years old, after I became a Christian, I just devoured the Bible. I read. I didn't understand. I read 20 chapters, and I wanted to boast that I read 20 chapters. I read a lot. I know over time, the more you read, you know, if you take a shower many, 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 many times, you will get clean. You know, as the Word of God just poured into my life, I begin to realize, Lord, there's so many things I don't know. But you know, it was the love of the Word. Do you have a love of the Word? Not the love of what someone else said. Some of you who have been 3 to 5 years as a Christian, read, pray, grow, and all that is no longer for you. For those who are younger Christians who are struggling to study the Bible, put effort to learn that. This is your 秘籍, this is your manual, this is the instructions of how to live a life glorifying to God. All right? Andrew spent time with the Lord Jesus. And what do you think the Lord Jesus spoke to him about? Think about that. Jesus invited him into the house, right? What do you think they talked about? I think they talk about the latest between Malaysia and Singapore. I think they talk about next year, the outlook for employment not very good. I think they talk about soccer. No, Jesus will never do that. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, John chapter 4. Jesus probably spoke to him about eternal life. Agree with me? What did Jesus talk to Nicodemus about when he came? Oh, Rabbi, we know you're a master of Israel. Jesus cut through and said, don't waste my time. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus probably spoke to him directly about what is the most needful thing. Yeah? And have you been taught the truth? Have you been taught the truth by the Holy Spirit? All right, moving on. And in verse 40 and 41, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. After the Holy Spirit stirs us, and then God gives you a heart of sincerity to find the truth, and you spend time in understanding the Word of God, Andrew, Bible says, we have found the Messiah. 找到了! How many of you remember many years ago, there's this thing, 我找到了, everywhere. You know, probably, maybe not born yet. I thought it was some new electrical company and all that. Actually, it was an evangelistic tool. 我找到了, I found it. Basically, if you really, last time I wasn't interested, but if you really followed it, it was actually leading to the gospel of, or this church was trying to kind of stir up a lot of thinking. Andrew said, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. The word Christ means the Savior that God has brought. Andrew found Christ. Found Christ. When he spent time with Jesus, Jesus probably confronted about his sin, just like Nicodemus, art thou a ruler in Israel, and knowest thou not these things? You know, we know many things, but do we know the truth of God? Do we know the truth of God? And so here, Andrew was so excited. After his interaction with Christ, Andrew was Peter's brother, went first to tell his brother about what he has found. The Jews were waiting for and looking for the Messiah according to the scriptures. After listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, Andrew was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said. I'm going to tell you a very important truth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 17. Very important truth. As you read the Bible, you must come to this conclusion. But you can't come to it alone. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, Simon Peter was asked this by Jesus, who do you say that I am? And on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you personally in your heart say Jesus is? And Simon Peter in verse 16 says, you are the Christ. You are the anointed Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament that the God of heaven and earth so graciously have provided. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus makes a very interesting comment. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bojona. You are blessed. You know, you ought to be so grateful. You know why? Because you cannot understand this from a human perspective. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. How was Simon Peter able to say that? But my Father which is in heaven. But my Father which is in heaven. You can only know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior when God the Father shows it to you. Wow. So I'm going to ask the question today. Right now in this part. Who do you say Jesus is? Because if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, you trust him for your salvation. Agree? That is a logical conclusion. But here, Peter actually said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They're two enmeshed together. So if Jesus Christ is God, we are his servants. But praise God, we are his children. Children obey the Father. Which is why salvation will make a difference in your life. It will. We can't pretend. Because if we are genuinely changed from the inside and we know it. We have a new master. We have a new God who loves us so much. And so here, Andrew says, we found Christ. I don't know about you, I can almost feel the excitement that Andrew has. Make no mistake, brethren, if you have received salvation, it was God the Father who has revealed it to you. And by the Holy Spirit's conviction, you place your faith in the Lord Jesus, and you will recognize Him as the Messiah and God. Even as a Gentile, how do I know? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. The Holy Spirit is upon even the Gentiles now. Praise God, many of you have trusted Christ. You know, understand it, if you have truly trusted Christ, it was God the Father allowing you to understand this truth, that you can receive Him. You know what you need to do? Praise Him. Give Him all the glory. Give Him the honor that belongs to Him. Thank Him for who He is, that He is willing to open our eyes. Can you imagine blind? And God says, Johnny, open. See who I am, the Son of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. Have you found Christ? Some of you can nod your head. Praise God. There's an assurance. You know, I cannot tell you the answer. Only you can. Only you can say, yes, Pastor. Thank God for that. Can you say that? If you can't, I would encourage you to speak to someone. Because God is ever present for those who are humbly acknowledging their need to know Him. And God will show you who He is through the Bible. One more point. He first found his own brother Simon and brought unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. After Andrew found Christ, he went to bring his brother to Christ. That's the Andrew principle. That's the Andrew principle. The Andrew principle is when we have found Jesus Christ, the first person we reach out to is our family. First person we reach out to is our family. I can recognize Andrew's joy. He found the Messiah, and now he wanted his family to know and share in that joy. Wouldn't you, who have found something absolutely wonderful, want to share with others? Can you imagine if you get a cure for cancer? You want to tell the whole world, right? Especially your loved ones. Do you know that this is the will of God? To reach your own family. Well, sometimes I can't reach your family, only you can. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. You stand there, I will tell you the background. Demoniac. He was controlled by demons in the graveyard, bound together by chains. No one could be with him, and he would break the chains, and he would be violent to himself and everyone else that tried to pass by. But when he faced Jesus, Jesus set him free. The Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. And as Jesus was preparing to leave, he says, Lord, can I be with you? That is the heart cry of every disciple of Jesus Christ. When Jesus has changed the personal life of every one of this demon-possessed man, he said, Lord, I would like to be with you. Can I follow you? Now, it was a humble request from someone who has been set free. You know what Jesus told him? Look at verse 19. He suffered him not. Howbeit, Jesus alone didn't allow him. I don't want you to follow me. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Thy friends in the Greek means everyone that's close to you. And who is the closest to this guy? His family. And of course, the other friends as well. Go back to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on thee. Christians, do you realize, do you take your salvation to be something small? Or do you, like what Jesus says, do you realize your salvation is a great thing? Do you realize there are millions? Over the last few months, I was just thinking about missions and all that as well. Do you realize half the world's population have never heard of Jesus one time? Not one time. For many reasons. One, the gospel has never, no one in this known world has ever been able to learn the language of the tribe. That's one reason. And that's why when missionaries go into foreign lands, they have to relearn the language. And they will take a banana and they will point and the way they, nonana, something, or nonana. And they say, huda. Oh, that, oh, huda. And they would try to create a language to reach the tribe. Half the world's population have never heard the gospel once. We all deserve to go to hell. But God gave us grace. Can you see the great thing God has done for us? Jesus says, tell them what great thing God has done for you and how the Lord had compassion. The salvation of Christ is because God had compassion on us and saved us. I'm here today because of God's compassion and His mercies. You are here today in your salvation is because of God's compassion and His mercy. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, verse 26, 28. There was a man on earth. A man on earth who wanted to be with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go back to your family. Friend, this is a man in hell. Luke 16, 26 to 28. And beside all this, this rich man in hell was pleading for Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water that he may cool my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, no, son, remember thou in thy lifetime had many good things and Lazarus had evil things. And now you are tormented and he is at rest. Okay, I'm not reading. But between you and us, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. I can tell you at that time when the rich man realized this is going to be my eternal address, it's fixed. It is never going to change. There is no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. It is fixed. You know what's the first thought that came to the man's? Look at 26. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Do you know there are prayer meetings in hell today? There are prayer meetings in hell. Can something be done to reach my own loved ones? For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Are your loved ones saved? You know, Johnny, it's been hard to reach my loved ones. It's hard to reach my loved ones. You know, I can only thank God my mom is here. But that's after. ...30 to 35 years... of praying and living for Christ. The hardest person to reach would be your own loved ones. That's just a reality in many families, because they know all about you. They know all the things that you've done before you trusted Christ. So, Brother Johnny, what do I do? What do I do? Well, the few things you can do. Matthew chapter 5, I'll just give you the verses because of time. Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I told this story many times. I'll tell you again, my mom is here. When I was young one time, after I became a Christian, my mom lost $50, remember? It's amazing, mothers remember everything. There was one time she lost $50. She came, was very angry because before I was saved, I was a thief. But she flipped up my pillow and looked under my pillow and couldn't find it. And finally, she said, she's laughing now. She went back to her room and found the $50 inside her own room. You know, to me, I just praise God for that. Because there's change. Let your light so shine before men. You know, after that, she wasn't very convinced because she didn't allow me to go to church. Today, she's here. Let your light so shine before men. You know what? Pastor, I've been trying to reach out to him, but I can't. Well then, keep living for Christ. Keep living for Christ. He will never fail us. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Keep on shining for the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible teaches, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea. You know what? Keep the fire of evangelism in your heart. Keep on reaching out, both to others, and also keep on witnessing to your own family. Okay? Keep on witnessing for the Lord, both at home and outside. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Salvation is a spiritual thing. And the reason why many people are not converted is two reasons. One, Satan is doing all they can to keep, all he can to keep them trapped. And number two reasons, Christians need to pray more. Fast and pray if you have to. Matthew chapter 17, verse 17 to 8, fast and pray if you have to. Matthew chapter 17 is a very important passage. The reason why I say that is, in the passage, there was a child who was trapped in bondage to Satan. That's why he had a lot of medical problems. You know what? The dad gave up. Basically, the dad gave up. And even the disciples couldn't cast it out. But Jesus came and cast him out. And then the disciples asked Jesus, why can't we cast it out? So because of your unbelief. Because you didn't believe that I could do it. Do you believe your loved ones can be saved? That's a starting point. That's a starting point. Do you believe your loved ones can be saved? I believe my loved ones can be saved, but we need to keep praying. But Jesus actually said something. How be it? Nevertheless, this one doesn't happen unless you go into fasting and praying. Because this demon-possessed man, boy, was actually in enslavement for a long time. Many of our loved ones are in enslavement with traditions and beliefs for a long time. We need to fast and pray for God to break the chains. That's a reality. We had a testimony of a sister who finally shared, and yesterday I didn't give her permission, so I just said generally, and she led her mom to Christ after so many years. I know we need to pray for genuine salvation that happened, but this is a starting point. Could be a stirring. Fast and pray if you have to, and then claim this promise. What's his promise? Acts chapter 16. Not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You put faith in Christ, you live for Him, God can through you reach your family. Okay? You have an opportunity on the 25th of December to invite your loved ones. Okay? You can invite them next week or on 25th of December, please invite your loved ones. We're praying their families will be saved. It's a wonderful thing if everyone, can you imagine the whole family one in Christ? Let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. Some of you are on my prayer list. Specific, pray for the loved ones, parents, in-laws, whoever. And I pray that we all practice Andrew principle till the day we see Jesus Christ. We look out, we just have to pray. Start with the one nearest us. Start with one nearest us and keep on reaching out. Keep on being faithful. Keep on reaching. Another brother shared how he also led another of his in-laws to Christ. So thank God for that. We need to be praying. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for teaching us the Andrew principle. And I pray, Lord, in my failing as a human being, Lord, I will never be able to fully express the truth of your word, but I'm thankful the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So, Lord, I pray that you will put this life, this teachings in the life of the person, people who hear. And I pray, Father, through thy word, many, Lord, will be led to be genuine Andrews, people who have truly trusted Christ. They have confronted themselves with your word. They have learned how what salvation is, what it means to be saved, what it means to be confronted with the holiness of God, what it means, Lord, that our lives need to be righteous before you, but we can't, which is why Jesus Christ died for us, that his righteousness may be placed on us. And then, Father, we can move forward in loving you, in serving you, in doing all that is right in order to reach more people for you. So, Father, I pray and commit all these people into your hands. I pray that they will listen to your word. And Father, I pray for fruit that will last. As a church, we just pray for what's going to happen next week. We ask for your blessings upon the work, but more that the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to prepare the hearts of every child that will come. Prepare the heart of every worker as well. Father, I'm thankful for some of the brethren who have contributed and worked hard. Strengthen the team. Strengthen your workers, Lord. let us strive to reach some lost soul for Christ. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.